everyone. Welcome to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex fetishes and going deeper. So stay tuned. Everyone, welcome back to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex fetishes and going deeper. Today's episode is episode number 90. We're going to end 2023 with fabulous episode 90. Okay, thanks to each and every one of you for your continued support. I appreciate you. Also, don't forget that you can now purchase my book on not only Amazon Kindle, but at Barnes & Noble. And if you go onto my website, KiraHullmore.com or BeInspiredWithKira.com or any of my social medias, you'll see it posted where you can purchase my book online. So thank you to each and every one of you, like I said, for your continued support. You're awesome. So today's episode, episode 90. Okay, it is going to be: are you overly anxious each day? Like, do you have a high anxiety level each day? In other words, are you overly anxious each day because you're thinking about the future and what might happen? Okay, this is important. Are you overly anxious each day because you're looking too far ahead into the future and wondering what might happen? Okay, that's important. This is a great conversation. Now, I was just listening to Lewis Howes' podcast, and he was interviewing Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle is someone who I've learned from years ago when I started my journey in learning how to live a happier life and get rid of my anxiety or lower it or be able to handle it properly, how to heal. He's one person out of, hundreds of people that I've learned from throughout the 11 now years that I had been working on everything that I do, including my podcast. All right. So I thought it was interesting, and I thought that is a great way to end 2023 is to talk about this, because I think a lot of us actually do, or I should say a lot of people, because I don't wake up with anxiety anymore, but I did a long time ago before I learned how to process everything that would go through my life. I was thinking ahead all the time. I was always thinking way too far, and then I would create up different situations in my mind. Well, if this happens, then this could happen, or if this could happen, or this could happen. You know, if this happened, this and this and this could happen. The thing of it is that's part of not living in the moment, because you're creating scenarios and situations that might happen later on in life only if you ended up making it happen that way. Does that make sense? So most of the time, people that are anxious right now in the moment, that are thinking too far ahead into the future about situations that may not be so pleasant, you know, they could be pleasant, but most of the times people that are doing this are thinking of things that aren't so pleasant. And so they end up stopping themselves from creating something very pleasant right then in the moment, because if they were thinking right then in that moment, they would have made different decisions. Does that make sense? Because they wouldn't have been worried about the future. So what happens is, like Eckhart Tolle teaches everyone, is that you live in the moment today, and I've explained this a million times too, in different ways throughout my social medias and conversations with others, that you live in the moment. I always say you live your life on purpose, okay? You show up for yourself, which allows you to show up for others, okay? So when you show up for yourself, you're giving yourself that self-love, that self-respect, to wake up every morning knowing that you're going to show up for yourself, which allows you to get to the next step, which is getting to work, okay? Which is getting to the next step. So now you're showing up for others that need you also. Does that make sense? Now that you're showing up for others, you're able to help them help others as well. And so it keeps going forward and forward and forward, and you keep paying back the rest of the world. Does that make sense? Or whoever it is that you're helping, whatever job or purpose that you have in life, you're helping others now in ways that you don't even really understand. A lot of people don't think about stuff like this, you know, and most people wouldn't until you're studying it and you're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. But what happens is when you wake up anxious, you have a lot of anxieties because you're not thinking about right then. You're thinking of what you have to do next, what's going to take place next. And if you don't do this, then you're going to have this. For instance, you wake up in the morning and you're still a little tired. So, you know what? Most people are still tired when they wake up in the morning, and that's okay. The thing of it is that doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you tired. Does that make sense? A lot of people analyze themselves and to say, well, I'm tired, so now I'm going to be... All of a sudden, their mind starts working overload, right? So it's now thinking, oh, well, I'm tired, so now I'm going to be tired on my way to work. And then when I get there, I'm not going to want to be there. And then when I get there and I'm not going to want to be there, no one else is going to want to talk to me because they're going to notice that I don't want to be there, or I'm going to tell them that. And then they're really not going to want me to be there. And then I'm going to ruin the morale at work, you know, and then, you know, it just keeps going on and on. Well, then I'm going to get fired, and then, you know, no one's going to want to be my friend, and then it's Christmas and I'm not going to be able to go anywhere, you know, or, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. When that's not what's going to happen, or, oh, I'm going to lose my job, and then what am I going to do? You know, I'm not going to be able to eat, you know, 5 years from now. What career am I going to have 10 years from now? You know what I mean? Like, your mind starts going overboard when it shouldn't. So if people would just think about what is happening right then in that moment, oh, I'm tired, and realize that that's all that that means, and don't start thinking that it's going to affect the rest of your day. If you think that that's a problem and an issue for you because you are tired, then you deal with that one issue right then. And what is going to allow you to not be tired anymore? Does that make sense? Do you need to take a shower? A lot of times that wakes you up. Do you need to have some coffee or tea or whatever drink or water, whatever it is that you like to drink? Is that going to help you wake up? Okay, then you get to that point. Okay, I'm tired. Let's go. This is how I'm going to solve that problem. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, even if you wake up late. Okay, you woke up late. So what? So now what? You're going to get up and you're going to say, hey, you're going to call your job if you need to and say, I just woke up late. I apologize. And this is what's taking place. I'll be there as soon as possible. Does that make sense? So they are prepared also. So then grab your cup of coffee real quick that's there and go. Does that make sense? But you don't sit there and start thinking, oh my God, they're going to think this of me, or they're going to do this to me. Because a lot of times people are not thinking about you. They're thinking about what's going on in front of them in that moment. Does that make sense? So when you have a bunch of people that are constantly creating different scenarios and stories up in their minds about what someone else is thinking or what might happen, they end up like wasting a lot of their energy, which all they needed that energy for was to actually wake up. But now they're exhausting themselves even more because they're concentrating on the rest of everyone else they think is thinking about them or judging them, whatever, when most of those people aren't. They're not thinking about you at all. And that might make some people feel, you know, uncomfortable to hear. But a lot of times people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about what they're doing. If I was in healthcare, they would have a patient on the table, you know, so they're talking to their patient. They're not like, oh, so-and-so isn't, you know, going to be here and let's see what we can do them later when they show up. You know, they're not doing that. They're working on a person or patient, what have you. If someone is an artist and they're performing their art. Does that make sense? So it's important for people to realize most people are not thinking about you the way that you think they are. And they may not be judging you either. And if they are, then that's their problem. They shouldn't be. And they need to start thinking about what's in front of them. And then most people that do that are drama makers. They cause a bunch of chaos. They create chaos. They make stuff up. And then they spread it around, spread rumors around. And yeah, could people do that? Yes, they can. Do people do that? Absolutely. I've had that happen to me, so I know firsthand, and it's disgusting. And the people that do that are just, it's sad. Like, I feel bad for them because they're the ones with the issue. Does that make sense? But the thing of it is once you understand that they're their own issue, then you're able to handle it. Does that make sense? You ignore them, or you let them know, I don't appreciate you talking about this. I'm going to need you to stop. It's causing a toxic work environment. Does that make sense? You go and you let somebody else know if it doesn't stop, and then you keep going up the chain. Sometimes you might have your managers and stuff involved in the chain, which, I mean, I've had that happen too. So you never know. People that are upset with you or envious and jealous of different people do things for different reasons. But at the same time, you get through every situation and scenario by going by what is taking place in that moment. Does that make sense? And you keep moving forward. If you need to remove yourself from a negative situation, then that is what you do. That's what I've done. It. I've done it several times now. I remove myself from different situations, and that helps me get through, the toxic environments, the toxic people, people who try to hurt you and harm you and stuff like that. When you wake up in the morning, you're anxious. You think of what's causing that anxiety. Is it a problem, or is it you creating a problem that's not there? Is it you thinking there's a problem, or there might be a problem later, or there looks like there could be a problem that could be beginning to generate, and you don't know if it's going to be a serious problem later? So you are now worried about something that could happen later on, but it's not happening right then. So now you're focused all your attention on that for later on that isn't happening right then. And then you end up accidentally creating that problem to happen. It's like you manifest something negative because you can't keep your energy off that negative situation. So what happens is you cause yourself even more anxiety because you've built that anxiety up on your own to such a degree that now, like I said, you manifested something really bad. Now, that doesn't happen to everyone all the time. Sometimes people actually, hurt people, will actually hurt other people. They will come at you, and they will try to harm you because there are really bad people out there in the world. Absolutely. And then there are phenomenal people out there in the world. So you also have to remember that. Like I said, if you're noticing there's a lot of harmful people around you, then it's up to you to take action for yourself and remove yourself from the situation. Okay, the negative situation. Otherwise, you're going to continue to repeat that cycle of negativity and toxic environment, regardless of what environment it is. If it's home, work, play, whatever, where you live, whatever situation it is, people repeat the cycle. And then they make up excuses of why they should stay in it, which just repeats it again. And then you hear the same complaint over and over and over again, okay, until somebody is done listening to the complaint or complaining and not getting any difference in the outcome, which is the definition of insanity by Einstein, sitting there thinking that you repeat something, the same thing over and over again, you're going to get another outcome is insanity, because you're not going to get another outcome. You're going to get the same outcome. So it's also if you repeat something positive, you're going to get the same outcome. It's a positive outcome. That's not insanity. That's actually positivity. The power of positivity. That's what that is. Okay, so you can either become insane and repeat the insanity, or you can become more powerful with the power of positivity. Does that make sense? You living in the moment, understanding what is happening to you right then, whether it's positive or negative, enjoying the moment if it's positive. If it's negative, you can say, okay, what lesson am I learning from this negative situation? Am I learning that, my life choice wasn't the best choice, and so maybe I shouldn't make this type of choice again? Is my health in check, and I'm not sure, am I doing something to my body, or I'm using too many substances or any substances, or is there something you're eating all the time or drinking or what have you that is causing your body to feel ill? Is something running your family and you're afraid that, you might have, cancer or something like that? You know what I'm saying? You want to try to alleviate those types of situations by what you eat and what you do, how you process stress. Because stress is a huge factor in bringing out ailments in the body and the mind, then in your heart. Does that make sense? Like, you react and respond to everything around you, including yourself. As soon as you wake up, you get to decide in that moment how you feel and how you respond to how you feel. Is it positive or is it negative? Okay, so let's say it's positive. You wake up and you're in a great mood and you're like, man, I feel rested. I'm ready to go. Let's go do this. Today it's on, So you go and you have a great day. You're staying positive. You're like, nothing can get me down. And even though 5 million people around you are throwing obstacles because their day, they woke up and they're like, nah, today sucks. So they're thinking at 500 miles an hour, 10 years from now, instead of what's taking place right in front of them, creating their own scenarios up about stories that haven't happened and aren't gonna happen, and focusing on other things instead of getting the job done. So they're shooting arrows at you while you're at work and you're like, ching, 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 and they're all bouncing off and going back to them. They're like, nope. You're like, nope, that's not working. Doesn't work on me. Because I'm focused and I am not concerned at your negativity. So I'm going to keep focusing on being positive and living in that moment, because my day is great and you're not going to jack that up because you don't have that type of power. Nobody has the power to mess up your day for you. Does that make sense? Somebody else may try to harm you. Then you take proper precautions and you go and, get the help that you need. But when you're just having a great day and you're just, that's not taking place, but people are just, throwing obstacles at you, say no one shows up for work but you. I've had that happen to me too. and I was new. So how did I handle that? I had everyone supporting me and saying, oh, you know what? We got this. And I said, you know what? We'll get through this. We're going to be fine. We can handle anything that comes towards us. Just let's communicate to everyone else of what's taking place and go from there. You do the best that you can for what you have in front of you, and then things work out. I always say God is watching you, and or whatever God you believe in with spiritually, you always have that force with you and they're watching you. And if you're a good person and your intentions are good, then you get the help that you need. Even when people are there trying to harm you. So your life might actually be saved in a bad accident. or someone try to kill you, but you didn't die. You actually found what was happening right before you could have. Does that make sense? They'll shine a light in a situation so that they're like trying to trigger you. Hey, look at this. Look at this. Green light, or red light, red light. Don't do this, right? Show you a sign of some sort, trying to reinforce what it is they're trying to show you. Okay, whether it's positive or watch out or something negative coming. You know what I mean? And to beware. So you can get through that moment in that specific time. Does that make sense? These are just a couple ways to get through each single day, okay, throughout the entire day. I always tell people, take things day by day. Day by day is so important because when you're going through tough times, let's say you lost your job, you lost, you know, you've lost everything. Like you almost don't have any money. You're not going to have your vehicle all of a sudden. You're not going to have any food. You're not going to have any money. How are you going to get to work? You know, all these things happen. Ask for help out loud. Pray to God and say, you know, please help me. I need your help. And then when they bring you an opportunity for help, then you need to take it. Okay, if God sends you an angel in front of you helping you recover from something or heal from a situation or get you, like I help people heal or get you a date, you know, people to talk to you because you're afraid and you haven't had many dates, but then I take you out and they wonder, well, who's this gentleman sitting next to this this lady? And I start talking to them and say, oh, well, I'm a dating coach and I'm here helping them date again, you know? And then I'm like, oh, well, this is and this and this about them. And would you like, you know, and then they start talking and there it goes. Does that make sense? Like sometimes you just need that one person to believe in you and kind of nudge you along a little bit and help you out. And that's what I do a lot, is I am there to help help you out, nudge on a little bit so that you can keep going. You know, because it's up to each individual to keep going. It's not for me or any other coach or, advisor to give advice to anyone for the rest of their lives. We give the advice that you can use for the rest of your lives, but it's up to you, each individual, to take it and then utilize it for the rest of their lives. Does that make sense? So we're like, in other words, like I'm not here to live someone else's life for the rest of their life. I'm here to explain a great way to become more positive and live a better life and be happy in life and to be able to get through some of the most horrifying or like painful experiences that life can throw at you. And it does take practice. Does take time, and there is, you know, pain involved in certain circumstances. Like if it was a sad situation or someone passed away, you're definitely going to grieve and be very sad, or if you were hurt, what have you. At the same time, you're able to heal through it. Does that make sense? So meditation is important. You can do yoga. Massage therapy. I'm very big on people getting massaged or doing Pilates, you know, stretching, aligning your chakras. Okay, I think it's important to understand yourself and how your body works. A lot of times we hear certain aspects and how they can help heal our bodies, but then we don't utilize them. We let them go in and out the ear, and then we don't take the action steps we need to make them work. So we were given the tools, like say you ask out loud, God help me, and then they give you the tools, like you're listening to this or something, you needed some help, and you have a tool now to use, but then you don't use it. And then you ask God again, I need help, why didn't you help me? But they did, but you didn't take the action steps for yourself or have enough self-love within yourself to or self-worth within yourself to utilize the information that was provided to you, that was given to you on purpose to help you through certain situations. So people have to realize they have to take ownership of their situations also and help themselves. Okay. Now you'll see there can be many people that come to help you as well. It's just up to you to accept the people's help. I always appreciate people that help me. I always have. Excuse me. I always will. I respect people that help others and don't feel like they have to give them something in return. That's not someone that's helping you because they want to help you. They're doing it for their own selfish intentions. And that's actually like they can receive negative karma for the people helping you for doing that to you. That just asks for help. Like if you're going to help someone, you do it out of the kindness of your heart and you don't expect anything back. I think it's important to give back to people. I'm that type of person. At the same time, you don't expect things back. Okay, you help out of the kindness of your heart. Like if you give money to a stranger or a homeless person, you don't sit there and talk behind their back when you walk off and say, oh, they're just going to go get drunk or do drugs. That's what most of society says, and that's a low vibrational thought process. So if that resonates with you, then think about that and think that that's low vibrational. So what you did was like an oxymoron type of situation. You gave to someone that needed money, and then you went and talked about them behind their back in a negative way as if, oh, well, you just wasted this money. So you didn't really give it to them with good intention or good thoughts about them utilizing it in a good way. You gave it to them in a negative thought and negative intention of them misusing the money. And then you're like, I don't know why I gave them the money. What did I think? You know, what was I doing? I'm not doing that anymore. Okay. Maybe you need that 20 bucks later and you're like, I can't believe I gave away my 20 bucks. You know, but obviously, you did it for a reason. The homeless person had it worse than you did. Maybe they needed it more than you. Maybe they hadn't eaten in a month and you ate every day, all day long. You could probably lose weight even. Does that make sense? So think about that. I mean that in a positive way because that is so real. And there are so many people that just talk about people behind their backs and it's sad. So if you're a gossiper, you need to stop gossiping about others also, because all you're doing is creating negative karma for yourself every day. And everything that you say, every word that comes out of your mouth, every thought that you have as an intention towards anyone else that's harmful or hateful, you rack up karma points, negative karma points towards yourself. So what you need to do is practice every day, if that's you, practice every day one thing, one thing each day until it's a habit to like, I'm not going to talk about homeless people. If that's what you do all the time and you know, or I'm not going to think negative about this situation and practice it each day. I'm not going to, talk about others with others. When they're talking about others and I go to work and I'm not going to join in, you know, their gossip and their negativity that creates a toxic work environment. Like I'm not going to be a part of it and be like, oh, ha ha ha. Yeah. Cause that's taking part in it also. I'm just going to walk away and say, you know what? I don't talk about people. That's what I always say. I'm like, I don't talk about people. So you guys can talk whatever, but I'm not involved. And honestly, I could care less if somebody likes that or not, because I don't talk about people. And if you don't like me because of that, then that's your problem. And that's sad. And I feel sorry for you again, because you're the one making yourself look bad. Does that make sense? Because you're the one being negative. And why would you be upset with somebody that's a positive person and doesn't talk about someone? Because most times all those people that are talking about other people are being talked about by each other behind each other's backs too. So even if they're, you think they're your best friend, they're still talking about you. It is what it is. It's actually proven reality of that's how it works. But they say, you know, the bad stick with the bad. So that's what happens. The snakes eat the snakes and they end up eating themselves, and it is what it is. My point is, if you want to stop being anxious for 2024, this is a fantastic way to start. Okay. Live in the moment, to be present in that moment, whatever is happening. Understand that it is happening in the moment. If it's negative, it's not happening to you. It's happening for you. Okay? A lot of times I've experienced situations where really, really horrible things, or what everyone else, I should say, and what the normal person would say is horrific ways of things happening to me intentionally by other people, forcing negativity, their negativity, and projecting it onto me at every level that you can think, with every horrific intention on purpose, which only allowed me to get out of that situation that I didn't want to be there in the first place. And I had been trying to leave it forever. So does that make sense? So it only forced me out of there, allowed me to get out safely before I may not have gotten out at all. I could have lost my life, you know, been harmed even worse, rerouted me and allowed me to regroup and redirect me on to a path that I wanted to be on and needed to be on and was supposed to be on in the first place. Does that make sense? So regardless of what obstacles are thrown at you, you can swerve around them, okay? And you can eventually get to where it is that you're supposed to be, or what you want to be, or you need to be. Does that make sense? Not only for you, but also for your family, if you have a family, or whatever it is, your pets, whatever need that you have, it allows you to be rerouted, redirected into a healing state where you can get through anything. But it takes practice, and it takes time, and it takes actual person that actually really, really wants to live their life this way to make it happen. So you can say, oh, I want a life of abundance, and I want this, and I want that, and I want that. But you have to think about what you need right then in that moment for whatever situation, scenario you're in. So like Eckhart Tolle describes, he says, okay, if you are running out of, you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my God, I'm running out of money. You look at your account and you're like, I'm running out of money. And okay, you're running out of money. So those are key words. How you describe certain scenarios is important to what's actually happening. So you're like, I'm running out of money. I'm not going to, you know, be able to buy this house, you know, in 5 years. I don't know what I'm going to do in 2 years, you know, 2 years later, you know, I'm supposed to be doing this too. And oh my God, you know, now I've got 2 years and 5 years stuff worth of stuff that I can't do, and I'm not going to accomplish anything, and life sucks. And, you know, I'm going to blame everyone else about this. So what happened is you just put all this energy, create all these negative scenarios right when you woke up, with have nothing to do with anything. Like, you made it all up. Our minds are masterminds of making stories up and then projecting negativity all over the place, okay? And then going telling everyone about it, and they're like, what? What happens is you are not out of money. You stated the words that you're running out of money, but you're not out of money. In other words, you still have money. You're not out of it. So a different way, a better way to do this and my do's and don'ts, I would say, so don't wake up and become so anxious because you start overthinking about what might happen in the future that hasn't happened yet. Okay, wake up and do think about you do have money. And you're going to live your life today understanding how much money you do have and budget accordingly. Okay. Now, remember, sometimes people may make mistakes. I've made mistakes before budgeting and I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So you made a mistake. So you try to learn from your mistakes. At the same time, you realize if you didn't make a mistake, you realize you wake up and you don't allow everything else that's taking place in the world to trigger you to keep your anxiety levels high, because you're in control of your own mind and how you react to every single situation and scenario. You have the option every single second of your life that you're awake to react and respond to whatever is happening to you or with you or for you or around you. Even the news. A lot of people will listen to the news and they will become highly triggered. I used to be that way. Actually, my father would get triggered sometimes too. And I completely understand that. And I think growing up, you're triggered by different scenarios because you're concerned about different scenarios taking place around the world. The thing of it is you don't want to be a victim of the world. And you end up making yourself a victim of the world when you wake up every day with these types of thoughts. Does that make sense? And allowing everything you see to trigger you to a negative degree, or just to the highest negative degree, that it generates hatred and you end up getting so upset. A lot of people don't know how to stop their triggered situation, and it keeps going and going and going and getting worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, bam, they explode, or they hurt somebody else, or they hurt themselves, and or they project all of that negativity onto someone else and just let it go, when that may not have been their intention, and they may not have realized that that's what they were doing, especially if they're, intoxicated or what have you. But a lot of times, it may not be their intention. Sometimes people wake up the next day and they're like, oh, did that happen? I didn't mean that to happen. Whoops. Okay, well, don't keep doing it. You know what I mean? Like, learn from your situations, right? The thing of it is we're all triggered by different circumstances around the world and different situations. But let's say you go up to the gas pump and you're like, oh my God, gas is so expensive. Okay, well, sure. So you just made a statement that obviously everyone can see and already knows. So you're just explaining what everyone already knows, which, okay, so what is your point? Are you going to be upset about it, or are you just going to get out and pump the gas? Because you being upset about it isn't going to do anything. It's not going to change the gas price right then. No. Okay. So what is the purpose and the point of you wasting all your energy, your positive energy that for that day, onto something negative that you consider negative, and then getting all worked up about it? That's my point. Like, you're choosing to force all your energy on that, create a negative situation and make it worse, and then let it like fester in your mind for the rest of the day. When you get to work and you tell them about it, and you're like, God, and then everyone else starts talking about it. And that's you projecting all your negativity on everyone else. And then you gain all the negative responses from everyone else together, which generates more negative responses, and then they go and generate more negative responses from everyone else they go talk about to, and then everyone else. So that makes sense, and that's how people generate hate around the world and negativity and project the negativity onto others instead of going and saying, you know, yeah, gas prices are high. It's kind of like the stock market in so many ways, like the housing market. It's all going to go up and down. It's part of the ebb and flow. Or just like the housing market always goes up and down, just like the stock market. When you understand how energies and situations work and flow, which takes a lot of learning, and like I said, I've taken courses on all of this, so it's not something that most people learn right away, but these are key ways to start understanding immediately and becoming happier immediately. Does that make sense? But it's up to each individual to practice them and keep utilizing them for the rest of your life, and then you help other people understand as well. Very important and very key to understanding. How we communicate with others is important. If you're feeling anxious, let someone that's around you know. You know, I have high anxiety right now because of this. You know, if you need to go take a break, say, I need to go take a break. Or you need to talk to someone about it and say, I need to talk to someone, and go talk to someone. Okay, if you need to do some meditation, go do some meditation. Listen to meditation music. I like to listen to meditation music. I think it soothes the soul. Like, I love singing. I always say, singing soothes the soul. Music soothes the soul. Communication is key, right, to being happy. All of it is correlated with one another, but you always have to understand the energies, you know, that are being processed around us. We're all energy, and we give off different energies throughout time, throughout our lives, each of us. How each of us was taught to process our energies, or our beings and our souls, is different and unique to each individual. Some were taught to process them very positively, and some were taught to process very negatively, or have had really negative experiences and don't know how to process those experiences and that negativity, how to release the negativity. What also happens is if you don't know how to process a negative situation and release it, then it stays within your body and causes you to tense up, causes you to have body aches and ailments and headaches and migraines. You get stomach aches, or you know, people have heart attacks, you know, strokes, like all kinds of different ailments can take place because of stress and how we process the energies, okay, or didn't process the energies. How we didn't alleviate different pains that have, or traumas that have happened to us throughout our lives. It's all correlated to understanding, you know, the mind, body, and soul, how we process each day in life, okay? It gets really, really deep. At the same time, it's so important to understand, because if you can understand this and you can start tomorrow, even if you wanted to, wake up tomorrow morning and think about all of this and start processing it and start taking action steps to lower your anxiety levels. Okay, it can make the biggest difference in your entire life. Okay, if you want to wait until New Year's Day and start doing it then, you know, then go for it. Start New Year's Day. But I think it's vital for people to understand how to process stress, anxiety, and how to keep themselves from overthinking about what might happen in the future, okay? That keeps your high anxiety levels at the highest level that they can get to. instead of keeping them right where they are or smashing them and saying, I don't have anxiety anymore. I got rid of my anxiety. I don't get stressed anymore because I understand how to process the energies that are around me, around myself and others' energies that are being projected onto me. I know how to alleviate that, which allows you to get through each day and not overthink everything that may take place later on in life, okay? Sometimes we don't get what we want also because you're going to get something better in a different way and not right then. So if you're not seeing a result right away a lot of times and you have great intentions, pure-hearted, and you really do want the best in life for you and everyone else and animals and all of that for the earth and stuff, then, you know, you will see the difference because you'll make it happen. You'll help make it happen, okay? That's letting go and saying, okay, God is going to bring me what it is that I need. Redirect me if I need to be redirected. He's going to bring people into my life that I need. It's up to me to accept that or not. Okay, so what I always explain is accept people's help. Okay, accept their help. And then your life becomes better and better. It becomes easier. And that's what you want, right? You want your life to be easier and not harder. And we all want to live a happy, abundant, energetic, phenomenal life. Most people want to, and most people want to have that for their children also. But you have to be a good example as a parent also, you know, to show your kids that you know, that can happen. And you're an example of that happening. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's how it works. You don't get far in life. Actually, you'll stay stuck if you think, oh, I'm always broke. If you always say, I'm broke. I have no money. Well, then you're never going to get money. You're going to stay broke. But if you change your mindset and you wake up and you're like, I have money. I have all the money I've ever dreamt of. You know, money flows to me. I'm a rich person. I'm an abundant person, spiritually, financially. You know, money will come to you. And it may be in little increments. It may be a small amount at first, but that's okay. That's still you generating an income, money. Does that make sense? To help you through whatever situation you're in. But like I said, it's up to you to think that way. If you want to be successful in a specific career, then it's up to you to take that time for yourself and say, okay, I'm successful. This is my career. This is what I am doing. Not I want to do. You say, I am doing this. I am successful in this, and I am going to make it to this level. And you start climbing their ladder. And each time you climb a ladder, you get to a new level. I am at this level. I am this already, and I am going to the next level. And you get to the next level. You keep doing that. But if you constantly are not at the level you think you're supposed to be at in that specific date and time you chose it to be, then you disappoint yourself and you don't make it. And most people quit. It's like being on a diet. People want a quick fix and then they don't alter their behaviors, their eating behaviors, and then you don't end up losing weight, or you don't go to a health clinic if you need to, you know, something that can help you. Understanding food and drinks and what is on a good list to eat and what's not and what have you. What exercises you can do that are simple that you don't have to go and break your back over at the gym for 20 hours a day, which is ridiculous. Unless you're a bodybuilder, like nobody has to do all that stuff, okay? But you can if you want to, but a lot of times you're just overexerting yourself. If you have a specific goal, then it takes absolutely, you have to crack down, but you don't have to do it to such an extreme that is ungodly ridiculous that you know you can't even maintain. Does that make sense? Because then you end up quitting and then you don't reach your goal. The thing I always say is If you don't reach your goal, just stop for a second, regroup yourself, think about it and say, okay, I'm still on my path to reaching this goal and I will reach it. And then you get back to doing what you're doing and reach it. Okay, that's important too. Also, if you're trying to stop a habit, that's a great way, a negative habit, that's a great way to, hypnotize yourself, because I took hypnotist classes also about how to explain to yourself and how to understand how people mindset works to get them to quit a habit, okay, that you don't want. Say you're overeating, okay? You're overeating a certain type of food. Like I did this to get me to stop eating fast food besides sandwiches, you know, and I still eat at restaurants, but I stopped eating fast foods. And it took me a long time to do it, but I kept working at it. Like it took me several months. And then every once in a while throughout the several months, I would go and have a Big Mac, you know, or I would go and have a chicken sandwich at Burger King or something, you know what I mean? And then each time though, I was like, man, I really like my own food better. I love cooking. And so if you know me, you know, I love cooking. I'm cooking with Kira episodes all the time. I love fresh food and I think great food is fantastic. It's so much better for you and it's cheaper in the long run. At the same time, it doesn't have all the processed fats and oils inside them either that they're cooked with that hurt your insides and can hospitalize you sometimes too without you even realizing that that's what certain oils can do. They make you break out in acne also. And people are like, I don't know why I always break out. And I'm like, well, it's probably the processed, you know, oils and all this stuff that's going into your body you don't realize. And people have no idea. Or you're maintaining salt and water, but you're drinking a lot of products that have a lot of salt in them, you know, and sodium that, you know, other people can handle, but you can't. You know, you're your own individual. And so there's different foods out there that are great for the majority of everyone. And then, you know, some people can eat anything, but that doesn't mean and drink anything and they stay thin, you know, and they look healthy, but sometimes they're not healthy internally. And sometimes they are, but like I said, each person's individualized. So make sure you do what's best for you and talk to your doctor about it. Okay. Cause I think that's important and learn the different foods that are good for you. And use those. Okay. And I chose the foods that you could eat the most of, because like I said, I love food. So I would choose, like strawberries, a fruit that you could eat every day, but you can have 13 strawberries, you know, so I could have 13 strawberries or I could have a handful of blueberries. Now, which one's going to make me full and which one do I enjoy both of them? Absolutely. But I'm going to be more full and happy and satisfied if I can eat 13 strawberries and it's the same amount of nutrients or it's adds up to the same as a handful of blueberries, which now I'm still really hungry. Does that make sense? Like you're not satisfied. Most of us aren't satisfied by eating a handful of blueberries over, you know, 13 strawberries. I'm not saying you have to finish all 13 strawberries, but I'm just saying that's the difference. So you learn to hypnotize yourself to not eat the fast food and to choose the better foods that are for you. And every once in a while, you might slip up and go get something that's not good for you. And then you feel ill and then you're like, okay, that was a bad idea. I slipped up. Okay. And then you don't do it anymore, right? And then you might slip up again, you know, and then you don't do it anymore. same, you know, people are smoking, or if you're doing a, you know, an whatever ailment you have, if you're drinking too much, you know, you say, okay, this doesn't make me feel good, so I'm going to slow it down, or I'm not going to do it anymore. You slow down little by little by little. If you're used to, if you created a habit that's over indulging, then you slowly slow yourself down to the point where you're okay with that now, and you don't need to overindulge. Does that make sense? Or you just quit the whole habit if that's what you want. But it's something that each individual has to actually really want to do, because nobody does anything that they want or that they don't want to do for themselves. Does that make sense? If you really don't want it, you won't do it. Does that make sense? So it's up to each individual to take the action steps and do it for themselves. You can't do it for someone else. Like if you're, let's say you're a smoker and your partner smokes and they quit smoking because someone else had them, someone else they knew quit smoking. They're like, yeah, I'm going to quit smoking. It's New Year's. I'm going to quit smoking. So you're like, okay, well, they didn't, they kind of quit for themselves, but they really, you know, they quit for kind of different reasons. Other people were doing it. I might as well do it too. Okay. You need to do it for yourself. You want to quit smoking because you wanted to quit smoking. It's not great for your health. You know, it doesn't smell great. It's not helping your lungs, you know, or you're coughing all the time, or, you know, you feel tired or you're sick or what have you, or you have COPD, you know, or you're getting COPD, stuff like this, you know, you can't afford it anymore, you know, it's so expensive. Like certain things that you can stop yourself from, I would say mostly the health aspects should be the reason you're stopping. And hypnotize yourself. So every time you see a cigarette, say no. Every time you see a cigarette, say no. Every time you see a fast food, you know, joint, say no and drive off. Every single time you see a cigarette, you say, no, I'm not taking it. And then you focus your energy on something else. Every time you see a fast food joint, you say, no. And you focus yourself on your energy on something else that's more, you go to the store. How many strawberries can I get? Where are the strawberries at? You know what I mean? What can I make for dinner? Let's go get something healthy. Go get a vegetable plate. Go get, you know, every once in a while, like I said, sure. Are you going to eat something, you know, that's not healthy? Sure. Of course, we all do that. But at the same time, just know your limits and don't overindulge. And that takes practice. Otherwise, we feel sick. You know what I mean? And when you feel sick and you overindulge and you get really tired, and then when you get tired, you don't sleep well. You know, you might... whatever processed food you have in you are working inside your body and trying to break down, and they're not breaking down very well and make you feel sick to your stomach, or you get acid reflux even. I know a lot of people that have that, and I do studies that work for that. So we see it actually happen. We'll see it. You drink something and it comes right back up your throat. And we're like, there it is. No wonder. You know, there it is. You're laid down, and here, most times it happens when people lay down. Different foods can make that happen. So a lot of times we might eat something that makes us sick in our guts too. Different processed oils, and you may not know that those oils were in the food that you ate. And so I always think about that too. And I'm like, man, I don't think I should eat this anymore. Like, I stopped eating, you know, really hot, spicy foods because it hurts my stomach. You know, I stopped eating ice cream. I stopped eating ketchup, mayonnaise. I eat a lot of mustard. But you know what I'm saying? I stopped eating a lot of different foods like that because in different oils. So sometimes, like, if I end up eating somewhere else and they have cooked in something, I don't know what it is, it can make me very ill also. And I've found that out the hard way before, or, you know, they might even have like a bit of food poisoning, but either way, you don't go back and continue eating that type of food. Does that make sense? So I think that's important, or you're going to feel sick. And that was a choice you made. So it's like, if you know you can't process hot food, then stop eating it. And you know that it gives you acid reflux, or you know that it burns your colon or buckles you over for 2 hours, you know, in the restroom or something, then in it, you know, you don't want to continue eating it because it's hurting you. And you're kind of hurting yourself. You're harming your own self by allowing yourself to take part in eating that types of food that you know are not pleasant afterwards. Does that make sense? So once you know they're not pleasant, then so hi everyone, it's Kira with Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways of love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex fetishes and going deeper. Today's episode is episode number 90, and I did a part one and part two. This is part two. So the first part is just going to end on me actually talking about ailments and how sometimes we generate our own ailments by different foods that we eat and different life choices that we make. Okay, a lot of it starts out with us waking up every day and being anxious and overthinking things, and then which creates to different life choices throughout our day. Actually, every second, you know, from the time you wake up, what you do. Are your clothes ready for work? You know, are you ready for the day already, or are you rushing and trying to hurry and you forget stuff? A lot of times what happens is you forget a lot of things if you're in a rush. So you want to do the best you can to try to make it so that you don't have to rush, right? Think ahead really quick. Time management is important. Set your things out real quick, in a place that you know you always can grab everything on your way out the door. So you always teach yourself to look at that spot every time you walk out the door. That way you know that you would have put everything that you needed right there every day before you walk out the door, so you always grab it. Does that make sense? Regardless of if you're in a hurry or not. But what I ended up leaving part one off with, like I was saying, was how we end up causing our own ailments through stress and foods that we eat. Now, like I was saying, I do exams with the radiologist about reflux, acid reflux. So we see it going, back up your throat, right? You're drinking some fluids and we see it come right back up, you know, in a standing position and laying down and rolling around on your stomach and back and all that good stuff. So that's just one exam that we do. But at the same time, a lot of people can relate to this one. So I'm using this one specifically. It's very painful. It can be extremely painful. It can make people vomit. Depending on the severity of it. A lot of people, once you have it, a lot of times you won't get rid of it. You'll just mask the issue with medication that is provided. You can get over the counter a lot of times, or if there's prescribed medications, and that's up to you and your doctor. You know, always talk to your doctor before you take anything, even supplements. Now, what happens, or, you know, what happens is that when the acid reflux is constantly taking place and you don't stop eating certain types of foods that are causing the acid reflux, then you're kind of hurting yourself. Well, you're not kind of, you are hurting yourself. So you were given a choice of foods out there in the world to eat, and then you've always chosen to continue eating the foods that are harming you and hurt you after you eat them. And then what happens is, like, we all have cancer cells in our bodies, right? Well, now you're wearing away your esophagus. Your esophagus actually can be worn away, and you can cause the cancer cells to generate in your esophagus, your stomach. You can get colon cancers, you know, esophageal cancers, you know, stomach cancers. Like, there are so many things that can happen throughout your body because of these different foods that are trying to process through your organs, but it's in your anatomy, but they're not processing well. Does that make sense? And you can feel it because it hurts. And so what I learned to do, and like I said, I always practice what I preach. So everything that I've discussed, I've done myself also. Does that make sense? Like I learned it and I started doing it and I took the action steps and made all different things happen for myself, which has allowed me to become a happier person and live a happier life. Does that make sense? And so I always try to give back to the public on purpose because I know it works because I'm living proof of it. So I don't know everything in life, but I know a lot. And I, like I said, what I do know, I know works, and it totally works. And I think, you know, everyone that taught me are geniuses. And now I feel like it's my life purpose also to help other people understand this because it's so profound. Then it makes such a big difference that you have no idea. Okay. You want to talk about slowing the age process down. That helps also because you're not wearing your body out by the foods that you're eating that are hurting you. Does that make sense? Let me rephrase this. You're not choosing to eat foods that you know hurt you inside or coming out, whatever. May not hurt going in, but they hurt, you know, while they're processing and coming out, or they have long-term effects later on after eating so much of it. It wears out your body, your organs. It can cause sickness internally. Like I said, it can create cancer to come out and potentially end your life. And some of it may have been because of choices that you made that you didn't have to make. And a lot of people don't realize that if you're not in healthcare, I should say most of society doesn't realize because they're not in healthcare, that the foods that we do eat make a huge difference. And if you know that you can't process certain foods because it does hurt when they're processing, then that is your body explaining to you and sending signals to your brain, your neurons. You know, if you think of a neurosurgeon, everything we eat, sugar, salt, what have you, every food sends neurons to your brain saying, this is good for us, this is not good for us, this hurts. You know, it's telling your brain, this hurts. For every reaction, there's an action, right? We put this food in our mouth, oh my God, now it hurts really bad. Okay, so that means don't eat it, right? Oh my God, I put this food in my mouth, now I'm vomiting. Well, that means don't eat that food anymore. You know, so you don't want to, I mean, would you be that person who would constantly do that? Oh, this food makes me vomit, so I'm going to put it in my mouth every day and then vomit every day because I love to vomit. You know what I mean? Like, nobody says that. Nobody loves to vomit, so if you do, then, you know, and you're a special one person probably in the world, that I would suggest that you go speak to a therapist and a doctor, because that's bad too. And you can cause throat cancer that way. And you could potentially kill yourself. You're slowly killing yourself. And that's what I tell people, because that's the truth. And I don't like to fluff things around. I like to just explain what you're doing. And that, in the long run, is exactly what you're doing. So, if you think of it that way, you will stop doing it. You're more, you know, likely to stop doing it. Or if you're not going to stop doing it, then, and that happens, then you know what? But you have to say, you kind of did it to yourself. You know what I mean? It's not the food's fault for being there. It's your fault for choosing that food that you knew was going to make you vomit, but you did it anyway. So when I say everyone has a choice every day in life to do anything that is exactly what I'm stating. That's one example. Okay? We each have a choice. Okay? What choice are you going to make? Okay, what are you inspired to do? Are you inspired? What path are you inspired to live? Are you inspired to live a joyful, happy path in life? Or are you inspired to live a horrible, painful life to where it's shortened? And like you can't even, like you don't live long enough to even be with your family or kids because you chose to eat all these foods that you knew hurt you, and now you're not going to because now you have a certain ailment that you can't stop it anymore. Like there's no cure for it. Does that make sense? So when I say if you notice something harming you and it doesn't feel good, you know, when it's being processed through your body, then heed that warning because your body's telling you something. Now, that is not true when it comes to drug or sugar, okay, because sometimes people, like I said, if you study neuroscience, like I take a lot of courses in the neuroscience online too, and of course I work in radiology, and like I said, I don't know absolutely everything. I'm not trying to tell you I do, but from what I learned also is you're in learning about food and habits and all kinds of different situations and scenarios and I've had basal cells. I've had 4 basal cell cancers on my face, and I had to recover from that. So from life choices when I was younger, right? So the thing of it is when you start learning about everything and how it's correlated and why your body reacts to certain things, then you're able to alter your habits so that they're a better choice, so that you can keep living, and then you can, alter the aging process to a certain degree because you're actually making yourself healthier and your body's regenerating itself. Because a lot of your body and your body cells regenerate themselves. But if you study the neuroscience, you're going to understand that your body and your mind is triggered by different substances and different types of foods or different types of triggers. Triggers can be verbal. You can have a verbal trigger. You can have you can touch something and be triggered, you know, to have a response. You can see something and be triggered to have a response. You can taste something and be triggered to have a response of what you like and what you don't like. Does that make sense? So the thing of it is sometimes you can have something that you like, but it's not healthy for your body internally. Does that make sense? So you may love the sugar, you may love that ice cream, you know, but it's not healthy for you and it's hurting your stomach. And so you should probably not eat it anymore. Does that make sense? Or if you want to eat it once a year for your birthday, fine. But most likely you're going to feel sick afterwards. So why even go there? Choose something else that doesn't make you sick. Does that make sense? Life's about choices. What choices are you going to make? That's what I always explain. These are ways to help heal you, your mindset, understand your triggers from all your different senses, which allows you to make better choices for you each day, okay? And like I said, it doesn't mean you have to live this perfect life where you don't eat anything. I mean, I love pizza. I'm like, if I want to have some pizza, I'm going to have some pizza, but I don't eat the whole pizza. Does that make sense? And if I did eat the whole pizza, then I would know that I would have to work out even harder afterwards. Or if I didn't work out, then it was going to stick to me. And that's not, you know, what I want to have happen. So only eat, you know, a couple of slices instead of the whole pizza. Like I used to buy a pizza and I would take 2 pieces of the pizza. When I, you know, lived at a different place, I would take 2 pieces of the pizza, I would eat it, and then I would give it the rest of the pizza to my neighbor. And I'm not kidding, because I'm like, if it's not in front of me, I'm not going to eat it, right? And also, I'm helping other people enjoy some pizza as well. they had kids. So I'm like, now everyone got to have pizza, you know, and then it was me giving back because it was on me. So at the same time, I was able to do that. You know, not everyone's able to do that. But if you practice, you know, self-control, you can. It's all about self-control and what it is you're willing to do. And no one needs to be, I'm not saying everyone needs to be perfect bodies, you know, and all this stuff. I think people's weight and their bodies fluctuate through every age, and understanding of what foods that we're eating and processing, what ailments or what we have, or what, you know, substances, if you're using it, like if you drink alcohol or if you smoke or whatever, you're on medications, you know, different medications cause different situations also, and get weight gain, and any steroidal medications will cause people to gain weight really fast also. They also make people go into, you know, bone density loss. So it's important that your bones stay, you know, strong. So you need your calcium, and you don't want to put too much medication, different types of medications in your body, because it will deplete the calcium. So it's used absorbing that calcium, which makes your bones brittle and weak, and they start to crack. And like I do exams for that too. So people get osteopenia or osteoporosis, stuff like that, which is not curable. Sometimes you can regenerate some if it's at a certain level, but once it's like just completely, you know, gone, it's gone, you know. So it can be very painful to people just to move. So they move one muscle and they break their bone. Does that make sense? Like they literally are in excruciating pain. And it's horrible. It's horrible to see. So, working in healthcare for, you know, past 25 years, I've seen so many different things. And since we're the heart and the eyes of the hospital, and traveling around different levels of trauma centers, working in different areas of every type of patient there was, you know, except burn patients I have not worked with. So, besides them, I've seen a lot of death, and I've seen horrific things, and I've also seen people go through really tragic situations and recover from them, and you know, of all levels. So it's very eye-opening, and when you're in radiology, you see the ins and outs of the body. So you know, we're the ones that help diagnose everyone. So without us, the hospital doesn't run. Does that make sense? And you can't have surgery. You can't diagnose anything. Well, not anything, but most things, I should say. So we're a very crucial part of any healthcare system. I always say it's a great job to have if anyone's ever interested in it. But at the same time, getting back to the subject, it also allowed me to understand what I was learning throughout my journey here and what I teach now also. Does that make sense? Because I've seen things firsthand. I've spoken to numerous people throughout my 25 years also, patients, stuff like that. And so my perspective and every part that I've played in healthcare itself, and each section of it that I've played in, is important. So what I did, I was in radiology, in the radiology part of it. I was also quality control manager of radiology department in the Air Force. I was site supervisor, coordinator for the radiology department at Sutter Davis Hospital, helped, you know, make our department what it is today. I'm not with them anymore, but you know, when I was in management, we brought all the digital CR and digital equipment into the hospital and expanded, and was able to work with our CEO, Janet Wagner. I was also part of the video under trust that went to Barack Obama, and I was representing CT, computer tomography, and it was presented to Barack Obama, the video was, and Barack Obama awarded our CEO, Janet Wagner, with the Baldrige Award, which we were the top 100 hospitals in the United States, which was super exciting. Our CEOs that when I was there were all fantastic and phenomenal. I think Janet Wagner deserves a great amount of praise. Just absolutely fantastic. Everyone that I was with, we had three of them. They were all phenomenal and upstanding leadership. I think that if someone wanted to choose to go into radiology, then they would understand, you know, how it is that the whole hospital functions, because we're part of each section. Like, we go to each section and help out. Does that make sense? And we're right there. You need us, we're there. You know, you need help, we're there. So, or you come to us. But it's been really interesting. I did DEXA scans and worked in the clinics and hospitals and level 2, 3, and 4 trauma centers. And I was taught trauma at UC Davis for 2 weeks at night when I was going through school. So that's level 1 trauma center. And in the ER. So at night when all the trauma happened. And so I was actually traumatized from the trauma center when I was learning. And that was back when I was 22 years old. So I saw so many car accidents, I wouldn't drive home. And I actually made the other students drive us home. So anyway, I was the only one that bought a car when I got here, and everyone rode with me. So I made them drive because I was traumatized. But then I eventually got over that. I understood how to heal. And now, you know, I have no problem driving anywhere. But at the same time, you still see trauma, and it's still, it can be hard to process at times. And I still think it's never easy to see anyone hurting or pass away. There are different hospitals have different respects for others and, you know, organ donor patients, you know, all kinds of different ways that people honor the patient after they have passed, and honor their family members if they're there to show them that they do really care and they are very empathetic towards that person and their family. That's important also because, I mean, we're there to help people, and like I am always a person of service. Acts of service are, you know, a huge love language of mine, and I actually care about people, and I care about humanity, and I care about, you know, how someone's taken care of and treated, and I always have been my whole life. At the same time, you know, I don't put up with bullies. You know, I've always been the one that stopped the bullying of others, and I think most people that really knew me knew that. And have seen me do that. So I've been bullied too. And, you know, and it stopped. I stopped it. So, like I said, you know, sometimes you have to take responsibility for yourself and get yourself out of or away from people that are doing that to you, okay? Because they're the ones that are the problem. You know, you're not. They are. Always remember that. If it's happening to you, a lot of people don't understand why they are the way they are, but they have a lot of anger within themselves. They haven't healed from past childhood traumas. Usually they are acting out of spite, envy, or jealousy, rage, that whatever has accumulated throughout their life, and they are going to blow up on you, and you're going to pay for their problems. And that's how they do it. And it's not necessarily they're preying on a weak person, because you don't have to be weak. It's just who they chose that day, and they'll keep it going, or who they can get on board to listen to their BS. So you got to understand that too. There's a lot of psychopaths out there, sociopaths, so, and narcissists. And it's very important to understand each type of person. Sometimes you can have, and no, offense to bipolar people, but some bipolar people, if you have not taken medications, I have met some people that were having that type of situation, and they were very vengeful and spiteful for things that you would never imagine. Like, nobody did anything, but they just randomly had a rage, you know, at someone, and you're like, whoa. Multiple personalities, you know, like there's a lot of different situations and, you know, that you have to understand about people in general and the psychology and sociology behind it, neurology, you know, all of that correlated together is important to understand. And that would take a lot of time of yours that we're not going to go there right now, but I just want to touch up on it and explain that it is important to understand the key concepts that I was just bringing up, because it can help you de-stress yourself to the point where you are choosing better choices for yourself. Okay. When you're waking up every day and you're choosing better choices for yourself, then you're able to choose better choices for others too. You know, you're able to help other people be happy. You're able to smile when you walk down the hall, which allows someone else to smile back, which you could make someone's day just by doing that. Or say something nice to someone or give them a compliment, you know, which can make their day. You never know what's going on with someone else's life. Even if they seem like they're a great, happy person, sometimes they're having a problem that you have no idea, and you may say somebody rude that woke up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, may have walked up and said something rude to somebody, like, ugh, ugly shoes, you know what I mean? And that could have just triggered something, because that's the only pair of shoes they had. Their dog ate up all their shoes. They don't have any more. Their feet hurt really bad because they're in them, you know, and they don't have any money right now because they just spent it on, you know, their rent, whatever you're in. And now you just told them they're ugly shoes, you know, and just made fun of them and started laughing and got everyone else around you to start laughing at them. You know what I mean? Like, bully stuff. Like, what was your point of that? You know, do you feel better about yourself? Because you shouldn't. You just made yourself look horrible. You made yourself look like a jerk. And you are. You just showed everyone your true colors of who you actually really are, which is sad. And then you just made yourself look bad again. Okay, so don't do that. You want to wake up and you want to smile and say, you know, today's a new day. I'm, you know, regardless of what happens, I'm going to get through this day. Smile at someone, you know, help, make someone feel better about themselves, or give someone a compliment that day. Inspire someone to become inspired. If someone reaches out to you and asks you about your job, then start explaining to them how your job is and how they can, you know, do your job too one day if they wanted to, or, you know, what it entails, and teach somebody something. It's great to learn. I learn something new every day. And it doesn't matter how big or small of what it is that you learn. You may think something was very small that you learned, but it's actually huge. Okay. Sometimes it's the little things that make the biggest difference. Sometimes you think you know all this stuff, but then you learn this one small trait of something. You're like, oh, well, now the puzzle is finished. Now it all works. Now it flows. Okay. So anyway, you can lessen your anxiety and stop waking up in the morning and overthinking and thinking about what might happen in the future, and think about what is happening right then, how you can react and respond to what's happening right then, and then take the action steps or the measures and work through your day accordingly. Does that make sense? Just remember, every choice you make, even if you get upset about something that happens, okay, you got upset, but did it make anything better? No. Did it change the outcome? No. I get upset sometimes, like when my computer doesn't work, I get upset at my computer. Does it make my computer work better? No. So did I waste my energy on that? Yes, I did. So I'll admit that. At the same time, then I go back and I say, well, that didn't do anything for me that was positive. So, you know, stop doing it. Does that make sense? So that's how I roll. That's how I work. And that's how I'll choose to stop acting a certain way that doesn't provide me with any fabulous outcome. All right. Instead, you find out what's going on with the computer and you get the help that you need. So, amen. So I love computer people. Love them. I'm like, yeah, I need your help. You know, you come and save the day and we're all good again. Amen. But anyway, listen to some great music. Remember, music is important. What you listen to in the morning is important. If you're listening to raging music that has negative words to it, it hits your subconscious. It triggers your mind with neurology, right? Remember that I was explaining? Triggers your mindset to react and respond in ways you don't know your subconscious is keeping those words in there and it's processing the negativity. And then it is building up so that you stay in a negative mindset. And you bring it and you project it onto everyone else most of the time when you come into work or throughout your day, whatever, whoever's around you. Even if you're at the store or you're on the road, you get mad at everyone on the road because you're listening to some really hyped up negative song. You know what I mean? Just same like you start crying when you hear a song. You know why? Because it's triggering your mind and your neurons and your brain to cry and react and respond because it's sad. Does that make sense? So, if you listen to something more positive, you hear a negative or raging song come on the radio, turn the channel. Practice that. Start listening to the words that you're listening to. I mean, are they talking about starting a gang and killing everyone? Because that's not what you want to listen to. You want to listen to turn the channel and stop listening to that song. Even if you like the beat. The beat might be great, but the words, you're like, whoa, I didn't know that's what was being said. Most people don't because they kind of hide that, you know. Those types of songs and music creators do that on purpose because nobody really knows what the words are. You just hear the beat. So the beat sounds great and people love the beat, but if they knew what the words were saying, they really wouldn't normally listen to it anymore. So if you listen to the words and they're positive, then you know, you're more, and you like the beat also, you're more apt to continue listening. Does that make sense? So sometimes people relate to their scenarios in life according to a song. And some may make you cry because you relate to it and you're like, oh, and it's very touching and heartfelt. So that's important to understand too. It can be very a positive meaning, but it's a tears of joy. You know, that can happen also. But if you study music, like I have also, you'll also understand that there are different hertz levels that create different emotions. They trigger your brain and your neurons and your brain to react and respond a different way. Just like when you watch a movie, you will cry at different scenes. Because not only are they showing you the scene that's sad, but now they've got the music and the hertz levels, the frequency levels to back it up, which triggers people's neurons in their brain to react and respond and cry and be like, oh my God. Well, some people cry more than others, but it depends on each individual. But at the same time, that's what's happening. Most people don't realize that, or they don't understand that's how that works. Now, so we've gone, excuse me, over an hour and a half with this. I think I'm going to end this part two right now. But I do want to make sure that you understand that you are totally capable of starting 2024, this new year, by waking up in the morning and becoming more positive. That's what I want to inspire each and every one of you to try to do, okay? It's up to you. I'm only here giving the tools for you to do it, but I want you to try and make it happen. I want to inspire each and every one of you to keep inspiring others also to keep doing that and becoming more positive. Remember that we create our lives on purpose, and it's best to live your life in the moment, knowing that tomorrow will come and the future will come, but remembering that you're in that moment a minute later is actually the future. So what are you going to create that next minute, the next minute, the next minute, the next minute, instead of looking too far ahead? Okay, don't overthink. Realize that the future is there. You have a goal. Remember, goals are there for us to continue moving forward. They allow us to continue to grow. They give us inspiration and encourage us, and we empower ourselves, and we're empowered by other people, inspired by other people or situations, scenarios, whatever knowledge we're gaining, or from ourselves if you're on your own and you're just working on yourself. You know what I mean? You are deciding how you're going to live your life for the future, but you have to live your life in the moment first, because we're in the moment. So if you think too far to the future, you're overthinking and you stunt your growth most of the times, and you don't end up making your goal necessarily right at that moment that you said you wanted to, because there are obstacles in between that a lot of times will hinder some people that you didn't know was going to happen. Okay, so that's okay. It's how you deal with the obstacles that it's important, and that the fact that you deal with the obstacles, that's most important. And knowing that they're just obstacles, they're not stopping you. No one can stop you from achieving anything except yourself. There may be people with external forces forcing you to not be able to grow, but then you remove yourself from those people, or you find out who they are, and you know, they will end up showing up, showing their faces, and they end up getting their own karma in the end. Like I said, the snakes always eat the snakes. So those who always try to stop good people from living a great life are the ones who end up going down in the end, and they fall the hardest. Okay, no matter how big or small they are, it doesn't matter. They will fall the hardest. So remember that. Think about staying positive. The power of positivity is real. You manifest what you think. All the energy you put towards something, it should be towards something that you enjoy, something that you're passionate about. Stop listening to everyone else tell you don't do something that you're passionate about, as long as it's legal, you know, and you're not hurting anyone, not yourself or anyone or anything, any pet or the earth, then you do it. You know, focus on what you're passionate about. Let other people be passionate about what they are, and don't listen to their negativity. You focus on what you like. Does that make sense? I want you to think of how you can inspire someone else in the new year also. So how you can pay it forward, right? Think about that. Remember to live your life on purpose. Love life. Thanks for joining in with Love Talk with Kira. I appreciate you, as always. And we will talk more in 2024. Oh, I'm a poet. Didn't know it. Just kidding. But anyway, I gotta be funny. Gotta have fun, right? So, all right, everyone. Sending love and hugs. And we will talk more later in 2024. Okay.